I thought as much, soliloquized Stubb, when the boats diverged. As soon as I clapped eye on him, I thought so. Aye, that's what he went into the afterhold for so often, as Doughboy long suspected. They were hidden down there. The white whale's at the bottom of it. Well, well, so be it. Can't be helped. All right, give way, men. It ain't the white whale today. Give way. Now the advent of these outlandish strangers at such a critical instant as the lowering of the boats from the deck, this had not unreasonably awakened a sort of superstitious amazement in some of the ship's company. But Archy's fancied discovery having some time previous got abroad among them, though indeed not credited then, this had in some small measure prepared them for the event. It took off the extreme edge of their wonder. So, what with all this, and Stubb's confident way of accounting for their appearance, they were, for the time, freed from superstitious surmisings, though the affair still left abundant room for all manner of wild conjectures as to Dark Ahab's precise agency in the matter from the beginning. For me, I silently recalled the mysterious shadows I had seen creeping on board the Pequod during the dim Nantucket dawn, as well as the enigmatical hintings of the unaccountable Elijah. Meanwhile, Ahab, out of hearing of his officers, having sighted the furthest to windward, was still ranging ahead of the other boats, a circumstance bespeaking how potent a crew was pulling him. Those tiger-yellow creatures of his seemed all steel and whalebone. Like five trip-hammers, they rose and fell with regular strokes of strength, which periodically started the boat along the water like a horizontal burst boiler out of a Mississippi steamer.